Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the second Monday of the month, it must be Empowering Women, sponsored by Right Now or Heighton and Lewis. And we have two great guests today. I'm really excited. Let me first introduce the sponsor, which is Jeff Burnick from Right Now or Heighton and Lewis. Jeff, welcome back. You were here about a couple months ago, at least.
It feels just like yesterday, Dave.
I know. It's incredible. And I like that, since, you know, if people know you're an attorney, a great attorney practicing employment law. And it's always nice to know that you're here on the radio show as an attorney, as a guest, versus like, uh-oh, what's up? Is there a lawsuit in the house? But I have no employees, so I'm okay.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, that is. But how's business for you guys?
You know, business is really good, especially in my area. Tough times tend to be better times for folks like me doing management side employment. Lots of claims out there, and the legislature's always messing with the employment arena. It really is. People don't realize it, but it's the probably the most regulated place in our country. Depending on your size and industry, there can be up to 165, 170 regulations that apply to the workplace.
Oh, geez. So you see a lot of are you getting a lot of disputed, like, unemployment claims, and people come to you? Or are you on the let me ask you this. Are the clients more on the employer end or employee end?
Well, all mine are on the employer end, but of course it takes two to tango. So for every one I get, there's typically a former employee. But it's interesting. We've seen lots of age cases lately with our workforce aging and things of that nature, a lot more than when I first started out.
Wow. So that and that may continue, too. I mean, with the economy the way it is, perhaps there's going to be probably a lot of changes, a lot of continued, unfortunately, unemployment, perhaps. So I guess you're going to still see amazing things happen.
I think that's probably going to be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a great guest, someone you know.
Very well.
In-house today, in studio, Empowering Women. Let's welcome Beth Jo Zeitzer, president of ROI Properties. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Great to be here today.
This is great. I just love this show that that Jeff, that your firm sponsors, because it really we need more awareness for the great women out there, the women that really make a difference. And I think, you know, all women make a difference. And this is a show, though, to really show how you can break through maybe cultural expectations, cultural beliefs, things that maybe have kept women in a certain place that really shouldn't be. And there's various women out there really paving the way. And Beth Jo, I think you're one of them.
Well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You're president and designated broker for your own firm, ROI Properties. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you started the firm.
I'm actually an attorney by training, so I've kind of chosen two non-traditional careers for women, but a real estate attorney by training, and initially was in private practice, and then went in-house as corporate counsel for Del Webb, and then wanted to kind of break out of the desk and get outside of, you know, drafting documents to actually doing the deals. And so I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to start a commercial division for Del Webb. And that helped me kind of bridge the gap from practicing law to actually doing more of the deals and putting deals together for all different property types.
But being an attorney must be a great advantage for you as a real estate broker.
No question. I definitely tap into my legal training and expertise on a daily basis. And so slugging through all those documents early on in my practice was most definitely a good move. And I had a lot of wonderful mentors in my legal career as well that helped form my experience, both on the legal as well as I was able to bridge the gap into more the brokerage side.
So what's your passion? Is it you started your own firm? First of all, how long ago was that?
Started my firm in 2003. With a very specific focus, which is turnaround and disposition of distressed real estate assets. And at the time, people thought I was crazy. Because
why did you look at Jeff when you said
because he probably thought I was crazy
oh, there
too.
You go.
Yeah. I kind of knew where the market was headed. Our market was actually in a boom period at that time. And I thought we'd probably see some market decline in 2005. It really took until 2007 before we started seeing huge volume on the distressed property side. But really chose this niche, kind of knowing where the market was headed. And again, we serve, you know, lenders, asset managers, turnaround managers to reposition real estate assets, both commercial as well as residential.
So what does it take, I mean, for the women out there and also the men, I mean, what does it take to be in the middle of an industry that has at least a perception of being a very tough industry right now, as well as the economy seems to be contracting? Tell us a little bit about how some of your what skill sets you have, what some of your beliefs that really contribute to you being a very powerful woman, a great business owner, someone that can really get past the obstacles.
Right. Well, I've always been really passionate about real estate. I would say, you know, right below my family and friends, you know, real estate has always been very core. And I really believe, and I've always told my, you know, people that I've mentored with, as well as my family and my kids in particular, that if you follow your passion, you will be vastly successful at whatever you do. And I really believe that. And I can honestly say that for my children and individuals that I interface with on a daily basis, it honestly wouldn't matter to me whether they were a janitor if they really were passionate about what they were doing. And I think that is very, very key to success.
You know, that totally makes sense. And I'm going to ask Jeff a similar question, but I'm going to ask both of you, actually, this is a lot of people don't know their passion. How do you go about finding your passion? Jeff, you go first.
Well, I think that's a tough question. I think mine have found me, I think, in some ways. I have a number of different ones. On the professional side, I think I fell into a practice area, and I was really fortunate because when I came out of law school, employment law was not a really a big thing, and firms did it sort of as an afterthought to take care of their institutional clients who might have a problem every now and again. But and that's exactly what happened at my firm, and nobody else was really doing it, and I've been able to grow the practice. But I, you know, the workplace to me is it's such a incredible interaction of cultures and thoughts and, you know, religions, and there's a lot of psychological underpinnings to a lot of the disputes. The disputes can be really personal, especially when you have a long-time employee. It's almost like similar to the dynamics you'd see in a divorce or a small partnership breakup. So I enjoy very much working with the HR directors that I've come to know over the last 20 years and helping them through those issues.
So that's interesting. What I hear you're saying is that it's really between or behind the lines or behind the scenes, you could call it. You mentioned psychological issues. You mentioned the different cultures, religions, and that could lead to disputes. So the passion really is the meaning you attach, it sounds like. It's not just straight law, but it's probably way a lot deeper than that, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, for me, it's the counseling. I really enjoy that part of it and connecting with the folks that I work with. You know, kind of an example, a recent example of these cultural things is I had a safety director at a company who had come and done a tour here in Phoenix. He was a European guy, And, you know, he was probably in his later 50s, I would say. And where he came from, when you meet someone, even if you greet them from day to day, you would hug them and kiss them on the cheek. And, of course, you know, he did that with some of the young ladies at this company. And, and they're from a different place and see that in a different way. And so that was really, you know, kind of a real-world example of sort of a culture. You know, it was almost, from where he came from, it was an insult not to do that. And, of course, where some of these people came from, it was just the opposite effect. You know, that was a personal affront to, you know, have their be touched and kissed and things of that nature.
So in his case, there was no bad intent at
no.
all. It was just cultural. That's a great example. Now, Beth Jo, same question really is the passion is, first of all, how can you tell people to find your passion? Does it just come to you, like Jeff sort of alluded to, or do you, you know, what advice would you give you, like to your kids, for example?
Right. I think it really takes wide exposure, you know, to a lot of different things. So not getting so pigeonholed into just one thing, but really having great exposure to a lot of different things so that you, when you experience it, you know it. And in some cases, you're lucky enough that it finds you, you know, and in other cases, you have to find it. I was pretty lucky because early on in my life, I had great fun going out and looking at properties. I mean, I remember seeing even 10 and 11 years old going out and seeing, you know, homes and going to open houses and thinking that was great fun. And so I think I always knew that I would do something in real estate. And for me, that kind of evolved into that being a part of my major and eventually something I really specialized in my practice of law and ultimately with, you know, startup of my firm as well.
So what do you attach? There must be some type of degree of fun to this as well, some enjoyment. Is it the fact you're putting a deal together, you're turning something around that most people thought, oh, this is doomed, but you come in and sort of save it? Is it about helping a lot of people because preserve their dreams
right.
perhaps? Why don't you comment on that?
Sure. I think it's a blend of a lot of those different things. So we're in kind of a tough industry in that right now there's a lot of foreclosures and distressed properties out there. So a lot of touch, you know, a lot of human contact. And it's very, there is a counseling component to that, of course. It can be very difficult at times because people have associated, you know, their dreams with a dream home. And in other cases, they've kind of distanced themselves from that. But our direct client relationships do tend to be mostly banks and asset managers who tend to be in faraway places. Most of our clients are either California, New York, somewhere in the Midwest, New Jersey, Virginia, you know, but many other locations. So we're kind of their boots on the ground. And it's an opportunity to take ownership. And truly turn something around. And so while we, you know, need to be very mindful of those individuals who do have a close relationship with a property and deal with them in a respectful way, we also are looking to really add value from the owner's perspective as well.
Which makes total sense. I mean, if he can add value and have that perception, not just the perception, but, you know, the reality, it really distinguishes yourself from so many other brokers. And I think that's critical. I think we'll take a break in a few minutes, but let me ask you this question, both of you. Is, you know, in today's business, especially with the economy the way it is, you have to be unique in some way. Let's start with Beth Jo. How are you unique as a broker?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are truly a full-service firm. And so most of the firms that are out there, they do brokerage of, you know, specific types of assets. And so it might be commercial, office, 5,000 square feet to 20,000 square feet. Instead, we do handle a full range of properties. I mean, everything from office, industrial, retail, a multifamily, single family. So that's a little bit unique. But then we are truly full service. So we'll go in and we do the receivership, property management, and then, of course, the brokerage side. So it's kind of a little bit unusual to have all of those services embedded into one firm, but it's just what our clients need, and we were built for that very purpose.
See, that's awesome. It's like one-stop shopping.
You got it.
Which is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Jeff, same question. I know you're a unique individual as a person, no question about it. Your firm as well is pretty full service as well.
Yeah, I think we're getting much closer, actually. We have used the past couple years when some firms, especially I think on the local level, have struggled some. We haven't. I mean, we represent a lot of banks that are just, from a legal services standpoint, just as needy during down times as they are when they're making deals. And luckily for us, we have the flexibility in-house to handle both ends of the pendulum. And what we've done is we've really made a conscious effort at the ownership level to take money that we really could have put in our pockets the last few years and went out and bought some expertise in some areas that we haven't historically practiced in. Like we got a zoning guy, we got a securities guy, we just hired an environmental lawyer, and you know, most of these guys aren't fresh out of law school. They're guys that have practiced here in town for, 20, 30 years and are looking for a firm, like ours that has a pretty good local presence that's trying to stay true to that.
You know, there's what you're saying, really, both of you, is that it takes a lot of long-term thinking strategically to pull this off. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Beth Jo Zeitzer, president of ROI Properties, and Jeff Burnick, the sponsor of our show right now, are Heighton Lewis, a great attorney, great law firm, and we'll be right back.
What does your landscaping say about you?
I'm friendly to our planet.
I xeriscape.
I'm water smart.
I harvest rainwater for my landscape and garden.
I'm a free thinker.
My landscape is filled with flowers year-round.
I'm energy conscious.
I water wisely.
Clemente Design Landscape represents your vision with an understanding of what a well-designed and cost-effective landscape can do for you. Call us for a free one-hour consultation and evaluation at 602-540-3773. That's 602-540-3773. Or visit the website ClementeDesignIsGreen.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Empowering Women, sponsored by Ragnar, Heighton & Lewis, a great law firm. And of course, we have Jeff Burnick here, one of the great attorneys from Ragnar, Heighton & Lewis. And in studio, our special in-studio guest is Beth Jo Zeitzer, president of ROI Properties and a great commercial real estate brokerage firm, full service, as you were saying. Before we went on our break, I was talking about long-term thinking. And to me, as a CPA, is one of the key success factors today in this economy, and really prior to this economy, is long-term thinking. And I think too many people have had short-term, immediate gratification, greedy thinking, which contributed, I believe, to the collapse of the economy. I think that's a big part of it. So let's start with Beth Jo about long-term thinkers. How do you integrate that into your strategic planning?
Sure. For us, kind of the buzzwords are enhancing real estate assets and delivering exceptional customer service with every transaction and with every property that we touch. And so those are kind of just our, you know, overarching, you know, strategies and certainly overarching themes within our company. And we really, every goal that we establish, you know, and then take to our tactic level, we really take a look at those overarching concerns and figure out how to address those. And so while we were built to address a very, very specific economic time, and that was when, you know, I started my company 2003 with the distressed properties focus, long term, we've looked at, okay, through these relationships and being out in the community and servicing so many people and touching so many people's lives in the real estate arena, how does that translate to long-term, you know, thinking and viability as a brokerage firm?
Yeah, well, that, you know, that's great. What this means, though, is you have a theme, you have a strategic plan. It appears to me a lot of mid-market clients, small clients, even large clients, they don't have strategic planning. One is they may not know how to do it. Two is they may go through the exercise of doing it, but implementation is the key. Jeff, your firm does strategic planning. Wouldn't you agree that implementation of the plan is very, very important?
Yeah, I think it's obviously the other end of the puzzle there. It's easy to sit around in a room and talk about what you want to do, but it's a lot harder when push comes to shove and you actually have to do it and see how it impacts you day to day.
Yeah, I think you have to have really good time management skills. You have to really be able to keep your eye on the ball, and the ball is the goal. And you know, I don't know if you're a sports fan. You might be, both of you, but the Arizona Diamondbacks. Anyone a Diamondback fan here?
I am a bit of a baseball fan, but...
Well, they've had a remarkable turnaround, and I bring this up because Kirk Gibson, who will be manager of the year, hands down, no question, from the back-to-back last place finishing to first place right now, and they will probably take their division. But what he always says, we know what we want. We know what we're going for. And he keeps that long-term focus in mind constantly as he implements short-term strategy. But he's so passionate about that. He's so intense about we know where we're going. I mean, and you could hear it in his voice that he's not wavering. This is where we're going. You're on board or you're not. But if you have a different goal, you won't be on board. And tell us a little bit about that, Beth Jo, on how that might apply to your company.
Sure. I think that, you know, for us, while, again, we were built during a time where really the focus was distressed properties, my goals and my thinking now is 3 to 5 years down the road. So I've always been kind of a longer-term strategic thinker as far as where I want to be and where I would like to guide the company. And I think that it's very important to be working on, you know, right now, you need to feed the beast, you know, with all kinds of deals. But I need to be thinking and focusing my time from a strategic level on the next three to five years.
That gives a new meaning to multitasking. It's really multi-thinking. I just made that up right now.
I like that.
All right, Noah, I want the credit.
Okay.
I know Jeff's looking at that like, wait a minute.
It's all yours, Dave.
Okay, there we go. Multi-thinking, I love that. But it makes sense. I think too many people are one-dimensional. And today is so important to be able to not only multitask, multi-think, be able to really think the long term like we're talking about. Now, Beth Jo, let me ask you about this. How is it to be a woman in a man's world, especially commercial real estate? Talk about that. You must have a lot of interesting stories. Maybe some you could share, maybe some you can't, but let me hear about that.
Well, I've always taken it on as a challenge, and I've always enjoyed challenges in many aspects of my life. But really have great passion again surrounding commercial real estate. So it was easy for me to say this is something that I wanted to really grab a hold of and build a plan around it. But there certainly have been times where I have felt like I'm up against a wall and not embraced within the community. I think over time, there are lots of things that we've done to, you know, be kind of embedded and welcomed into that community. But it certainly has been, there have been times where it has felt like an uphill battle. There's no question about it.
Now, is that a cultural thing, or is it based on fear from other people in the commercial arena? How would you describe that? I mean, to me, anything that is exclusive keeps people out, I think there's always a fear element mm-hmm. in there. And what do you say about that?
Well, for me, what I have said is, in building my company and in working through this, that I'm just going to be better. And we have been, and we generally run in circles around the commercial brokerage community, all the boys. And the boys have a lot of the relationships, and they always will, and a lot of it is sports-based. There's actually very, very strong professional as well as college sports players within the commercial brokerage community, which is something that I haven't really been able to relate to. But I've been able to differentiate on other bases, and really it's through, again, delivering this exceptional service concept. And once a client has kind of plugged into the ROI machine, they don't go elsewhere. And that's because we do work that much harder and really deliver that exceptional customer service along the way.
Well, you have the competitive spirit of a true athlete, so that's what it takes. Now, Jeff, I know you, this is probably near and dear to your heart too, as far as, welcoming, embracing women. You have some great women attorneys in your organization. In fact, fantastic ones. Talk about the culture in your firm at Reitnauer, Hyten & Lewis and how you embrace that.
Well, I've been there 20 years, Dave, and I'm personally proud to say I think the culture has changed quite dramatically over the span of those years. We have some really great young female attorneys. I think some of them are in what I would consider non-traditional areas of practice. For women, I think that up until, the last 10 years or so, I think women in private legal practice have, not forced, I think that's an overstatement, but have ended up, for one reason or another, in the estates and trust planning area, bankruptcy, and a few other, a lot of family law, the kind of stuff that would lend itself to taking some years off for staying home with the kids and things like that, where I think now we've currently, one of my recruits, Tiffany Broberg, who I think you've met, is on home on pregnancy leave, just had her first child. And we've really tried to be conscious of trying to figure that out for women. I'm sensitive to it. My wife is a lawyer, and she was up mm-hmm. against those issues when we had kids. I've heard a lot about it. I've thought a lot about it. And, some of the younger female lawyers are really the heart and soul of our firm and of my practice. You've met Beth, who, women and men, I think, by and large, think differently and process information differently. And when you have workplace disputes, sex harassment, termination cases, it's very, very helpful to have folks around you who just think about things differently, not for better or for worse, than you just aren't wired to think about them that way. So it's been a great help to me.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you're right. I mean, in all relationships, men and women have different thinking styles. But one thing for sure at your firm, all you, the men and the women, have great character. honesty and integrity. That is so much appreciated. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with special in-studio guest Beth Jo Zeitzer, president of ROI Properties, and, of course, Jeff Burnick, a great attorney at a great law firm, Regnauer, Height & Lewis, and we'll be right back.
Regnauer, Height & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Regnauer, Height & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Empowering Women with special in-studio guest Beth Jo Zeitzer, president of ROI Properties, and, of course, Jeff Burnick, the attorney for the great firm. Where did I get farm?
We have a lot of agricultural clients,
do
actually.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't even know that, actually. Yeah. Really? Agricultural. Yeah. Anyway, the great firm, Regnauer, Height and Lewis. Now, we've been talking about various intangible skills, passion and skill levels, and what it takes to be really not just good but phenomenal in today's economy. Now, let me ask Beth Jo another question. And I bet women think about this a lot, is career versus job versus family. Why don't you talk about that a little bit and explain how you do it, because you have three kids.
Yes. I am blessed to have three kids and a healthy, happy marriage of 24 years with my wonderful husband. And my boys are 15, 14, and almost 12 this week. And I feel very, very fulfilled to be able to have all of these aspects of my life. I think for a lot of women, they think that they can kind of have it all and try and do things part-time, try and work part-time. And I think I've come to the conclusion after being in, you know, professional life for, you know, over 20-some-odd years that you really can't have a career part-time. You might be able to have a job part-time, but you can't have a career. And what I have found is that a lot of the women that I know that have opted for kind of part-time careers, if you will, or jobs, they wind up working full-time, and they get paid part-time, and nobody's happy, and they're not able to achieve the balance that they attempt. So for me, I opted to really plunge into the career, a full-time career, both when I was practicing law as a real estate attorney and then certainly as I started my own firm. But it has never been a part-time gig for me. It's always been, you know, a true career. And I've been very fortunate to have a lot of wonderful support and infrastructure around me. So I have a wonderful husband who co-parents with me, and my kids get it, which is good. And so I feel, again, very blessed to have all of these aspects of my life that I really enjoy and have passion around.
You know, and that seems to be maybe one of the keys is a supportive spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking off there, team parenting. And, Jeff, you were talking about that, too. Talk a little bit about the same subject, really, how important a support system is to have a career. And team parenting, is that challenging? What is that exactly?
Well, I don't know if it's something I just made up, but
I like it. Though.
I just
I'm giving you credit on this.
All
one.
Right,
I'll
thanks.
Take the multi-thinking. You take
multi-thinking
the team.
Multi-thinking.
Team parenting.
Team parenting. All right.
Well, team parenting. I just think that in today's world, where most of the time both the mother and the father are going to be working outside of the house, the traditional roles of father being the breadwinner and the disciplinarian when he comes home from work, and the mother, you know, making sure the kids get to where they need to go and that kind of thing is just, you know, it's a relic. And, you know, my wife and I are both lawyers. We met in law school. She has worked almost continually, with the exception of a very short time as a lawyer over the course of our 20-year marriage. Wouldn't have it any other way. The balance is, as Beth Jo mentioned, it's tough to. I agree with you completely. I think that you can't have a career part time, and I think a lot of women try that and don't pull it off. And it's not because they're not capable. It's just because the time and demands of it don't really allow for it.
Now, Beth Jo, let me ask you this: is that, you know, unfortunately, there's probably, I think the country in general, over 50% of the people are single these days. And the divorce rate out here in I think in Maricopa County must be like 67%. It's ridiculous. I think second marriages are 75%.
Wow.
Third marriages, I bet it's over 100%. Okay, you're saying, wait, you're CPA? How can it be over 100%? I'm not sure. But it just sounded good when I said that. Now, talk about single moms. I used to be on the board of directors for a great organization called Single Parent Association. And it's about 70% single moms. And I gave a lot of lectures in neurolinguistic programming and various things to help the single moms and dads that were involved. But what do you tell a single mom, for example, that the support system, they don't have a spouse and they want a career and they have young kids? What would you suggest to them?
Well, I think it's really tough, but I think that a lot of women in that situation try to shortchange their needs, and I think that you just have to build in, you know, the expense and the time needed for additional resources. So if you are kind of heading down a career track, you need to make sure that you have the additional resources that you need to be able to take the kids and pick them up from school and have somebody kind of maybe get things started, homework-wise and all of that, because you'll head into a burnout zone unless you do have appropriate resources deployed.
You know, that what you said is pure neurolinguistic programming. This is great. Jeff, you brought in a great guest. What's going on here?
I don't know.
It's excellent. So when you said build it in, and you've mentioned this many times, that makes so much sense to me. A lot of people will pretty much shrink down to their comfort zone, and they'll match their, or they'll lower their goals to their resources versus having what I call a fixed goal and increasing your resources mm-hmm. to match your goal.
Right.
And that's what you're really talking about when you say build it in to the whole structure. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, it's probably a little more challenging than it sounds. However, people can do it. And it may mean changing your beliefs about what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean changing your beliefs what you're capable of. And especially with women, I mean, how have the cultural beliefs and expectation made it more challenging in the world for women?
Well, I think over time it's really changed. I mean, in my opinion, in 20 years of professional life, I think that the opportunities for women now are far greater than what they were when I first began my career. And what I found was that I didn't really have outstanding mentors when I initially started my career. And then a lot of those women that were professionals at that time started embracing, you know, the next generation of professional women. And then I found that I had a built-in infrastructure within the workplace, and I was fortunate to be able to have built-in infrastructure with my family and certainly with my husband as well. But I think over time, things have changed in the workplace, and I don't think it's as challenging as it was perhaps 20 years ago. There's still lots of demands, and there still is certainly inequity within the workplace. But what I'm finding is that there is more opportunities for co-parenting or team parenting opportunities that have been embraced. And as a result, there's more opportunities for women, and women are really, you know, performing at par, and in some cases, many cases, excelling as opposed to men within the same types of positions in the workplace.
You know, even though there's more opportunities, and I would clearly agree with that, is the psychological aspect, you know, and again, the heavy cultural expectations, the perceptions, the beliefs of the culture, maybe of men in general, too, as far as their perception of women, does it make women more risk adverse? Do you think? And maybe talk a little bit about that.
I think that's an excellent point, and it's something that I've really contemplated specifically with respect to commercial real estate. So in the commercial real estate field, there's actually a lot of women that are working in that field, but they tend to take safe positions. So they take marketing director positions, or they'll take, you know, assistant types of positions. But they won't necessarily become a broker, which is at-risk compensation, and very, very competitive. And so what I have seen is that the risk piece, women in general, they don't want to take as much risk. And with more risk, obviously, there's more reward. So I think that's part of the reason why you perhaps don't see as many women in commercial real estate in very high-powered roles, and most definitely in leadership positions within their companies or within, you know, a company environment.
And Jeff, have you seen that as well, in general, as an attorney representing various clients? Do you see that maybe women, because of the culture, are a little bit more risk adverse?
I think so, Dave. I mean, in what I do, I actually spend my whole day interacting with women. Women really predominantly.
I want your job. Where can I get your job?
Be careful what you wish for. it's interesting because in the HR field, it's really predominantly female.
You know, that's a good point.
What I have noticed, and it's true to some extent still, is that the female HR directors, some of them would prefer having a female lawyer. So a lot of female lawyers have done very well in the specialized area that I've worked in, just as a result, I think, of the client contact, and the decision makers tend to be more women. My observation in the legal profession, I mean, we've come obviously a long way from where, when Sandra Day O'Connor graduates from Stanford, she can't get a job except as a legal secretary. Mm. Now we've got, what, three women sitting on the Supreme Court, and I think the numbers as far as law school graduates, are more than 50% of them are female right now. So I think that, the trickiest balance is the family. The family years for the women, I think they're very, very difficult, and I think employers just have to be flexible and have to look at it as an investment in somebody who is worth it and is great, even though that they may not be able to, you know, be full bore for those certain childbearing years.
You know, and you said investment, and that goes back to long-term thinking. When you invest, you just can't say, well, you know, I want the home run. That's the problem. People, you know, lottery tickets we reported on one of our shows are at an all-time high. They want the home run. Well, maybe it's time to work for it, look long-term, keep your eye on the ball, and you too can be a Kirk Gibson Manager of the Year, I'm predicting right now, for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Beth Jo Zeitzer, rate of return. See? I'm thinking of CPA stuff. ROI Properties President, and of course Jeff Burnick from the great law firm Ridenour, Hyten and Lewis, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Empowering Women. Special in-studio guest, Beth Jo Zeitzer, ROI Properties, the president, founder, designated broker. You got everything going.
Wow. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed. You're impressed that I could say it in one,
yes.
one shot. And, of course, Jeff Burnick, the great attorney from really the best law firm I have ever worked with as a CPA in 30 years, Ridenour, Hyten and Lewis, and I'm not just saying that. You guys are amazing. Jim Hyten, I always give him a shout out. And of course, you have the best receptionist. That might sound funny, but it shouldn't be. The face of your firm, the great receptionist, Carol, she is amazing.
She is amazing.
It's always a pleasure calling in. I always get to talk to her. Now, let's talk a little bit more, and let me ask Beth Jo this question about balance and really some of the special skills it takes to relate to human beings. And that's got to be a big part of your profession as a broker.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I think just to maybe pick up with where Jeff left off, you know, it's really all about a balance, you know, balance in your work life, balance at home. And I think women that have achieved a true balance, or really anyone for that matter who's achieved a balance in life, can bring better perspective to the workplace. So I've always encouraged, you know, outside interests, time with family, really knowing and understanding when to turn it off. And I've actually told employees, you know, you can actually score points by kind of putting some boundaries on what you do. Just because you're getting an email from me at 4 in the morning doesn't mean that you need to respond at that time.
I got one from you at 4 in the morning.
I'm just teasing. That tends to be a time where, and everybody has their own time where they work well. But I do respect boundaries, and I also believe that having achieved balance in life really brings some unique balance to the workplace, and specifically on the real estate side. Working with clients, really knowing and understanding their needs, understanding how to weave in and out of different personalities and how that translates to a specific requirement, whether that's residential or commercial, is very, very meaningful. And I think that unique balance in home, community, and work life really can enhance the overall service provision.
Wow, you're unique. I mean, as an employer, that is just fantastic what you just said. I bet there's people dying to work for you. I mean, you have, what, almost 50 people, combination of independent contractors and employees, and you were telling us off the air about 65% are women?
About 65% are women, yes.
And Jeff, you came up with a great question. Do you remember what it was?
I think so. I wondered if that was by design or it just evolved that way.
Right. Well, I think much of it evolved, and I think some of that is because I was really looking for extraordinary multitaskers within my firm, and we definitely move at a very frenetic pace. There is no boredom at ROI Properties, and that is assured. But being moving through things in a very frenetic pace really requires excellent multitasking skills. And I actually have over time found that, at least within my employment base, that the people that I've tended to gravitate to have been, women as being excellent multitaskers. So perhaps it was a little bit, by default, perhaps a little bit by design, but it works.
That's the main thing.
It works, yes.
I bet there's no one moping around your organization saying, when will the economy change? That's about the worst statement you can ask. Is that correct? Wait, who wants to go after that one, Jeff? Okay.
Okay, so I'll take it.
Okay,
you know what? There is no one in my office that is necessarily looking for the economy to change, although we're ready for it. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, strategic planning and thinking long term. Certainly we're positioned to be able to take advantage of what is going on in the economy right now, but do it in a respectful fashion and, again, through adding value in every step that we take in this process.
You know, that's so important because, I'm sitting here with two great individuals that both firms are expanding in a contracting economy. Now, Jeff, I know you guys are. We had one of your consultants actually on the show, the first Empowering Women show, and I think it was Cleve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cleve and I have become wonderful friends.
Nice, Greg. Really a great talent, and he's helping you in that area. And what can you both tell the public right now that so many people are in a sort of a low state of mind, just waiting, the waiting game, versus taking a proactive approach and saying, wait, I can do this despite the economy, because it's all, I believe, from the mindset, the skill level, get out there and become active. Jeff, what would you tell people?
I think that times like this really, if you were honestly looked at it historically, are the times of greatest opportunity when everybody's bunkered down in their basement trying to weather the storm. I mean, we've really, as I said earlier, have been aggressive. We are up 10 attorneys from 18 months ago. We have plans to try to get to between 40 and 50 before we're done. And, I mean, we've really become a place where people want to come and practice, which wasn't always the case. It's amazing to see the caliber of people that we're starting to attract and talk to. And it's really... it's an exciting time for us, we made a conscious effort to look at it that way and to approach it that way, as opposed to, hey, we'll just stick to what we've done, and that would have worked fine. You know, we've been successful 3 years, but you know, now's the time for us to sort of make our move and you know, get our brand out there and take it to a different level.
You know, some of the key words you're saying is conscious. You know, you make a conscious effort. Same words you were using about building in to the environment, into the culture, into your strategic plan, the things that you want. So, Beth Jo, why don't you talk about that as well?
Yeah. I would agree with Jeff. I mean, I think times like this are a real opportunity, and I think it's just a matter of how you embrace it and how you move through it. And a lot of people, I just came from a client meeting before this ran into a friend was working with this lender now, and he said, you know, I can't believe how many people have disappeared, Beth Jo. Both of us had come from development industry and just disappeared, you know. You just don't hear from them. They're around, but they're just like they just are, you know, opted out. And it's not healthy. It's a challenge, but there's lots of opportunities with that. For instance, I had a good friend of mine who is an architect, a wonderful architect, very, very talented guy. He came in to visit me and said, you know, what do I do? Where's the work? What's going on? And there's honestly like very little work for architects right now. And I said, well, you know, maybe there's some opportunities on the public contract side. Maybe there's some opportunities doing this type of work. Perhaps you should be deploying some of your time in the renovation, rehab, and repair, you know, piece. So there's always an opportunity within any market segment. And then I said, you know, perhaps this is a time where architecture, you utilize those skills and all of your great construction skills to deploy that more into a construction, you know, area. And architecture is a short-term hobby, and your you know, plan right now might be to, you know, get into more construction as your base. So I think there's always opportunities in any economy, and particularly in a down cycle. This is where actually real wealth is built. If you look in the real estate industry, in my industry, this is where people really, really make money.
Yeah, I think so, too. I agree with both of you. There's incredible opportunities. What it means, though, is people have to see the opportunity to take the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if you are stuck in your comfort zone, which is really should be a discomfort zone, you may not be aware of what's right in front of you, you know, how you can actually do something related to your skill level, expand your services, do something to keep pace or really set the pace in the market. And mm-hmm. Jeff, I mean, I know you guys have done that by expanding and having different specialties in the law firm.
Well, and that's exactly right. And our you know, our thinking, it's nothing earth shattering, but you know, when it does come back, you know, we've got all these practice areas, this zoning, securities, environmental stuff that, you know, there's going to be a real call and a real need for that. And we're going to have an ability not only to cross-sell from our existing client base to those services, but hopefully have the expertise in those services to cross-sell back some of the more traditional services that we've provided.
Excellent. Can you believe the hour has flown by? It's hard to believe, Beth Jo. Why don't you give out some contact information? How do people get in touch with you?
Sure. Feel free to give me a call at ROI Properties. Our main number is 602-319-1326. Never hesitate to email me as well at bjz@roiproperties.com.
Wow, you said that better than I did. ROI Properties.
All right. I say it a lot.
I'm never going to be on Saturday Night Live. Jeff, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they call 602-254-9900, where they'll get the incredible Carol at the front desk, and then just ask for Jeff Burnick, and they'll patch you through. My email is jburnick, B-E-R-N-I-C-K, at rhlfirm.com.
Well, Beth Jo Zeitzer, I said that right, didn't I?
All right.
I thought I did. Anyway, see, I even fool myself sometimes. Anyway, thank you so much for coming in today.
A pleasure.
Excellent. I think that provided a lot of inspiration, motivation, uplifting advice to women. And Jeff Burnick, always nice seeing you. Hope you come back soon. And, of course, great discussion. Always nice to help people. And stay tuned for Understanding Autism up right at 3.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.